Warning, this podcast has stories of real-life events and true crime that happens every day. These stories may contain adult language and graphic or disturbing details not suitable for everyone. Listener discretion is advised. In our society, most people are content to go through their daily lives safely and peacefully. But our society is not always safe or peaceful. For that reason, some men and women answer a higher calling to defend and protect their fellow man. You probably know someone who is one of these people, or maybe you are one of these people. The ones who see and do the things most people would never want to. These things are sometimes heroic and beautiful, but often they are horrific and terrifying. It's these things they don't share about with other people. It's these things they carry with them, so you don't have to. But when they get together, they talk to each other about them. And they call these stories war stories. Welcome to another episode of the War Stories Podcast. I'm Tom.
And I'm John.
And we're running a little bit behind releasing this week, but that's just a necessity because we really wanted to get some good time to discuss this. And as of right now, it's just John and I because we're trying to get... The ability to get everybody around the same table just is not working out.
No, it's not working out. But you know what? I think also this topic is a little touchy-feely as it pertains to people that are still on the job and whatnot, wanting to talk about what we're going to talk about this episode and thinking of the repercussions, you know, that it might have potentially. Yeah,
I know some people that are so either close to retirement or pretty much retired already, and they're on some sort of a program to just work until they don't want to anymore. Sure. they might even be hesitant to talk about this subject because it just paints a target on your back.
Yeah, it does. If you tune into the last episode, I think we kind of touched on it a little bit during the episode, but at the end we had mentioned that we were going to take some time and talk about the systemic problem in leadership, as it pertains to, you know, law enforcement and fire and, you know, the first responder community. And, you know, I've never worked in anything but either military or paramilitary capacity, unless you're talking about when I was 15, but that was when I was 15.
Right.
So, you know, so I'm sure a lot of the things that we're going to talk about will apply to people that, you know, work in the corporate world and in the civilian world as well. So, you know, at the end of this episode, if you guys want to shoot us some DMs and whatnot and let us know how, you know, if what we're saying is right on the money, if it's off, if it's not your experience,
so,
if
it is your experience. Yeah, so let me clue, I think, people in, because maybe they don't understand this. Everybody thinks of the blue wall, right? They think of how there's, you know, they see the thin blue line and they don't understand that police are the thin blue line between order and chaos. It's the thin blue. That's, you're thinking of the wall of silence where, like, right, we don't talk about anybody outside of our own. And you know, it would be lying if we said that didn't exist. You know, years have passed. It existed in a way that was really difficult to overcome. The way I was brought up was, hey, if you, I'll risk my life for you, but I won't risk my pension for you, which is don't do stupid shit in front of me. If you, you know,
true.
That was kind of the way I was raised. But there's a whole other side of it that I don't think people understand. It's not the, you know, code of silence. We never rat against our own. There's a significant culture in law enforcement and firefighting. And I don't know, maybe John, you can tell me if this is true in the military, but I suspect it is. We eat our own. And
yeah,
it's like, you know, once there's blood in the water, man, it's a feeding frenzy. And one of the things I'll give you here, John, you and I were talking about examples. So maybe people can understand what sometimes cops go through. I worked with a guy who the chief and he did not get along. He was a motor officer and, this chief had done some pretty, she had done some inappropriate things in the past and he had called her out on it. Some on duty and some off duty. And basically he had made it clear that he didn't want to stay at the department and she made it clear that she didn't want him there, but it was going to be a race to see if they could try and fire him before he could get another job.
basically. And at one point, the chief of police sends an email to a commander about how they need to pull everything they can on this guy and make sure that they, you know, completely get him nailed to the wall, blah, 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 blah. And basically gave the commander instructions to find a reason to fire this guy. But she CC'd my friend on the email.
What an idiot. What?
So he got this email from the chief that he clearly wasn't supposed to get. And he went, you know, save, 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 print, 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 walked right down the hall to her office, slapped on her desk and said, look, I'm leaving anyway. You give me anything less than a glowing recommendation to another department and I'll go public with this.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious what we're talking about now.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. And, you know, I think over quite a few episodes that we've had, I think a lot of the people, actually, I'd be willing to say 95% of the police officers we've had on, whether it was in a conversation on the show or a sidebar conversation, has had a problem with leadership pertaining to their department.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. And again, I'm not saying it's just police. I think it's fire, paramedics. Actually, matter of fact, I was sitting at the hospital the other day with someone that was in custody. And I even specifically asked, knowing we were going to have this episode, I was talking to some of the nurses. I didn't get a chance to talk to a doctor, but, you know, about, hey, like, the people above you, do they, like, just give you guys shit just to give you guys shit? Like, do they treat you guys poorly, like, yada, yada, yada? And surprisingly, every single one that I spoke to was like, no, we love it here.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, I think what you're talking about is, like, more above us. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess that makes sense. But for the most part, they're untouched. But I could say, you know, in my short 10 year career, I've had a lot of problems, as it pertains to the administration, admin. Mm-hmm. And I think that is for a few reasons. And I think that you probably had the same reasons I did. I know my family that's in law enforcement had the same reasons I did. Yeah. And I'll start off by saying it boils down to ultimately just wanting to be a cop. That's where it starts. I just want to be a police officer and I want to work and I want to work hard.
Right.
But in turn, that means you're now creating work for other people that don't want to do it. That's where in my opinion, that's where it all starts.
Well, at the lowest level for sure. And
yeah, at the lowest level.
And then as you go up, it seems to be, it's the same symptom, but it's a different route. Like you get to the line level supervisor and either they're pissed off, they don't get to play anymore, or they're afraid you're going to make them look bad and they're going to have to, you know, get called out on the carpet and have to justify their existence. And
sure. Know. And you know what pisses me off more than anything, more than a supervisor, like it pisses me off more than a supervisor that's just a piece of shit, is the one that plays both sides.
Ugh.
It boils my blood beyond all recognition. I don't know how you could sit there and tell your guys one thing and then go just fucking stab them right in the back.
Oh,
literally,
bro.
5 minutes later.
I
know it happens a lot.
Oh, yeah. We work the team concept where, you know, during your entire 3 month DP, you were with the same crew, right? Everybody had the same days.
Sure.
So we had squad system. And we had a specific sergeant who if you were on her squad, you could do no wrong. But if you were not on her squad, she was going to go through and pick apart your police reports, pick apart your evicts, find reasons to screw you and fang you and tell your supervisor that you needed discipline and you needed correction. But if the very next deployment, that piece of shit officer was on her squad, they were now untouchable. And whoever they replaced that was no longer on her squad was fair game.
You know what? And that just goes to show really who's in charge and who runs the department. Because when things like that are happening, if you're going to tell me that the chief of police does not know, it's fucking bullshit. I think it's a flat out lie. And in my experience, I think a lot of I don't even know of a chief nowadays that has a full blown solid backbone. Period. Yeah,
right.
I haven't met one. I think they used to be all around, but you know, just not anymore. And the problem I think in lies that I don't know if it's the culture we've created over time. I don't know if it's, I don't know if it's, you know, the type of people that grew up going to school, getting bullied, and then they got a little bit of power. They may not have been good at the job, so they just did a fast track to lieutenant and captain. And then they're like, well, guess what? Now I'm in charge, bitches, and I remember all you motherfuckers that remind me of my childhood. I don't know.
But see, it's kind of a real world conundrum, right? It's the same people that go into politics of government, you know, or the academics, the people who have law school but no courtroom experience. You know, they have a degree in political science but no actual experience running a company. They, you know, and they get into politics. Well, I think it's the same thing. When you have cops that want to do police work, they don't promote because that's not where the police work is. So who promotes? People that want all the cool shit that goes with being a cop, the uniform, the badge, the gun, the prestige. Well, there's not that much prestige, but you know, there's, it's cool. You know, they want all of that, but they don't actually want to go do police work, nor were they very good. I took a chief on a ride along one time, and he was going to be our new chief. And when he got out of the car for the first time, he didn't even know how to approach the suspect or the passenger side of the vehicle. And then when I asked him to get an FI on the passenger, he told me I didn't bring a pen. I'm like, you would have been bounced out of my car in FTO for that shit, but you're going to go out in uniform on patrol and not be prepared to do police work.
Wow. Yeah. I don't know. There's probably the latest story that I have pertaining to anything like this was we were getting ready for a warrant service, and it was a warrant that was basically created what we call patrol warrants.
Right.
So it was based off of patrol arrest and whatnot. Anyways, when the lieutenant was supposed to sign off on it, long story short, when we submitted the ops plan for it, he started changing things around. I'm a very, very firm believer that if it's my warrant, then I'm the first one in the door. I'm not putting anyone else in there first. It's me. And that also goes back to, and we won't get into like training and experience and all the things I've done or other people have done in the past. But here's a good example of an amazing leader. So kicks it back and basically puts me number, I think, 2 or 3 in the stack. And I was like, what? I'm like, what? I don't understand why you're doing this. Well, you know, the person that I put there, you know, has more experience. And I looked at him and I go, he's got less than half the time on the job than I do. What do you mean he has more experience? Well, he may have less time on the job than you, but he has more time at this agency than you. And I go, so that automatically means he has more experience? I was like, I'm pretty sure that I was kicking down doors before that fool was even a cop. Might have even been in high school still.
Right.
So I don't know what you're talking about. And then I went into like tell him actually practical stories of things that have happened. And I never talk about that experience, but I did it just to prove a point. He looks at me and the only answer he could give me goes, I'm the lieutenant and I make the decision. And I was like, well, if something bad happens, it's on you. That's your blood, not mine.
That's the administrative equivalent of because I said so.
Yeah. And I think just the point I guess I'm trying to get across is here is that is the majority and not the minority now. When I think of leadership and see leadership.
Well, you look at how few, and maybe this is because we are in California. I don't know. I'd like to think there's some hope in the rest of America somewhere. But you'll see, you know, people standing up for their cops, and that's what you're supposed to do. When they do it right, you stand up for them. When they do it wrong, you discipline them. It's that simple. But waiting to see how popular or unpopular the public opinion is before you decide whether you're going to have their backs or cut them loose, that's not leadership. That's chicken shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I would like to think it's maybe a California thing. I mean, I don't know. I mean, if any of our listeners that want to chime in and write us and we can maybe talk about it again or share some stories. Sadly, I'm willing to bet it's not. Yeah. I mean, I think that maybe it might be more predominant in California, but I don't think it's just a West Coast thing. I believe it's systemic across the United States.
Well, it's clearly happening to the people, the folks in Portland and Seattle, and all, you know, being forced to stand down in the face of people that are actually violating the law that should be arrested.
Have you? Did you? Out of curiosity, in your law enforcement career, did you go to SLI?
No.
No. Okay. No. So for those who don't know, and excuse me for not knowing the brief, do you know what it's what SLI?
I don't.
I know I sprung it up. I know it, but I forgot off the top of my head. We'll look it up right now. But anyways, it's basically a leadership course for, I believe, sergeants and above. You could put yourself through it, I think. But regardless, it's for sergeants and above when they're promoted. And the funny thing is that I've actually read
Supervisory Leadership Institute, Sly.
There you go.
I couldn't. I know. We always called it sergeant school. Like,
yeah, that's what we call it, sergeant school.
Yeah.
So the funny thing is I've read a few books as it pertains to leadership, but one actually that pertains to SLI in particular. And it's funny because everything that they teach you not to do as a leader, these leaders come out and they do it. Everything they teach you not to do.
Right.
But why? The answer is, or the question is why? Why is this happening? And I have no fucking idea except for power trip. I'm in charge. You do what the fuck I say. I don't know.
I think...
So we're not even talking about people that have practical experience. I mean, these people that are lieutenants, captains, chiefs, the line level guys know what they've done in their career. It's public knowledge.
I think we're seeing like the chiefs now are the first of the weenie, you know, like they were the last great cops, you know, that were, you know, bringing people up the old school way. And their last trainees of the last great old school cops, all of those weenies that are still in law enforcement that were, you know, these guys were like, you got to bounce this kid. And they're like, no, it's the kinder, gentler police department. We need to put them through training. And the hard cops were, you know, saying, get rid of them, get rid of them. But that was that first round of like protected type applicants that, you know, they just needed people to take those positions. It didn't matter if they were the best kind of a thing. Mm. Now, a lot of those people, it's 30, 35 years into those kinds of policies being enacted. And so those people have all become assistant chiefs and deputy chiefs. And, you know, it's funny when I talk to some old school coppers that are like, oh, I remember that freaking that chief or that deputy chief when he was a boot down at whatever station. And he was a piece of shit then.
Yeah. Yeah. Talking about stories of tenants that I've heard of running away from dudes with knives and being chased. Dudes with... Like officers that have been involved in shootings, and then they don't know where this guy is. He's 3 or 4 blocks away hiding in a bush. What? These are people that they promote.
But I think that's part of it. You know, like we said, it's the, you know, that first generation of people that were protected because of who they were, not what they were, or what they were, not who they were, I guess. I don't know. Depending on how you want to say it. That, and then we really started getting rid of, I think there was that also led to the formation of groups like MAD and, you know, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. And I know a lot of those groups do a lot of good, but there has been an unintended consequence in the court of public opinion, which is officers don't have the discretion they used to.
No.
So as soon as officers don't have the discretion they used to, then the public that they're supposed to be serving is going to see them as soldiers, not civilians, because civilians live with you, you know, they understand what it's like to be the new guy on the block or move into a neighborhood or all the, you know, the reasons we have a civilian police force instead of an occupying army. But if you take their discretion out of it, then the people they're serving know this guy's just going to arrest me. He's just going to throw the handcuff. There's no, there's no sense talking to him. There's no sense reasoning with him. He's just a robot. And so it like further feeds that us versus them mentality. And that comes from wimpy leadership as well.
Well, do you think that's exactly what we're seeing now?
Well, I think that's a huge part of it. I mean, I could tell you that the one of the greatest pieces of advice. Thank you, Franco, wherever you are, if you're listening to this. One of the coolest cops. He was my training officer for phase five. So he was the one who rode around with me and told me whether or not I was a fully cooked police officer and if he was going to sign me off to have a job. And about, we were supposed to work together for 2 weeks, and about two shifts in, Franco tells me that, I've seen enough. I'm going to sign you off. Let's go do some real police work for the next week and a half. Right. And,
oh, nice.
And he wanted to act as partners. He's like, all right, don't worry. Now we're going to go be cops. You know, Franco told me when I asked him when I was in his cars, if he was going to promote to take the senior officer test, the two striper test. And he goes, nah, you know, coming in first place in a cocksucking contest still means that you're a cocksucker. And I was like, okay. Well, Franco had this piece of advice. He said, make a decision and be able to justify it. He says, if you make a decision and then you have a thought process behind why you arrived at that decision, I'll back your play. Even if it's the wrong decision, I'll say, at least you thought something up. And here's what you need to think about for next time. But if you just take a wild ass guess and throw shit at the wall and see if it sticks and you don't have any justification for what you were thinking, I will fry your ass for that, right? So it was always just make a decision and be able to justify it. But now you have all these guys. When I would be I'd have to be the acting watch commander, and I'd have guys that would come up to me and go, hey, can I blah, blah, blah? And I'd say, no. And they go, well, why not? I've seen you do it. And I'm all, do you see me ask for permission?
Oh.
And they're like, well, no. I'm like, so then why are you? Either you have enough confidence to do it, in which case go do it. And then come tell me what you did, or don't come to me and ask me to bless it and give you permission. That way, if you fuck it up, you can always say, well, the sergeant said I could, and mm-hmm. lay exactly. it at my feet. Lay it at my,
it's so funny because you see that it's very evident that people can not make their own fucking decisions nowadays in law enforcement, the younger group in law enforcement.
Yeah, right.
You know, you talk about an agency like LAPD, they have to have a fucking supervisor for everything. They got to clear it through a supervisor for everything. Supervisor responding to everything.
I mean, you want to arrest somebody? Call a sergeant.
Yeah, it's fucking insane. And, you know, the agency I work for is not like that in a sense of sergeant has to get involved in everything. But there are people that if you do not run things by them first, there's going to be hell to pay. And nowhere in any policy, procedure, memo, nowhere does it say, oh, I have to contact so-and-so before I do so-and-so.
Right.
But if you don't, God help you. It's insane. And that's a lot of the reason why I've run into a lot of the issues that I've run into is because I make decisions because I know it's the right decision and I don't need anyone's approval to do it. Nowhere does it say I need anyone's approval to do it.
Right. I'm just going to do it. And if you don't want me to do it next time, tell me.
Will tell me, but the problem is a lot of the decisions that I make are also decisions that, in my opinion, leaders would not make, period. And then that puts them in a real bad spot because they don't know what the fuck they're doing because they never did it.
That. Yeah.
Because they never did it.
Well, I mean, it's kind of a trope in movies, but I think it's a trope for a reason. You know, when you take the, you know, like the lieutenant or the captain or whatever, and he shows up and there's a grizzly old salty veteran on the scene. And he's like, we're going to do this. And the lieutenant pulls him aside. Can we do that? And the old
salty veteran's like,
yes, yes, we can. I've literally seen that done. I've seen the grizzly old salt, you know, like the guy who is going after Jaws, you know, the old salty sea captain, and they scratch her. Listen to me. I'll tell you what to do with your suspect. And the suspect's got black eyes, like a tweaker eyes. But those guys, I've literally seen them look at captains and lieutenants and go, come here. This is what you're going to do. And they're like, okay.
Okay. Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. It's either one of two things are going to happen. Either A, that is going to happen, or B, hey, look, let me tell you, this is how we need to do this, and this is the way we're going to do it. No, you're not going to do it that way. All right, bye.
Yeah.
I'm not sitting around for this shit, Joe.
No. I mean, I can tell you, I've personally seen bad decisions by a line-level supervisor, lieutenant, end up in an officer-involved shooting where both people involved in the shooting, the suspect and the arresting officer were both police officers for the same department on duty in uniform, and one shot the other.
I got nothing.
Now you gotta tell the story. So this was in the news, and I'll try to stick with stuff that's public information because I can't.
Yes.
But basically, this was in the news several years ago. There's a smaller agency, maybe probably 100 and a half cops. And one of the police explorer advisors had been under investigation for either soliciting or actually having an inappropriate relationship with one of the police explorers. Now, if you don't know what a police explorer is, it's like a Boy Scout or a Girl Scout, but they come to the police department and do, you know, scouting type activities and all that kind of stuff. So by that rationale, he would be supervising what amounts to a high school age girl. And he's in his 20s. So they're working a DUI checkpoint one night. And he's a motor, so he's there. And he had gotten the female explorer. She had gotten pulled away to go do the investigation into this case while the DUI checkpoint was going on, because the supervisor in charge of detectives figured, what better time to use her for this than when I've got her out at this DUI checkpoint? So they're doing pretext texting with the suspect, the officer, trying to get him to, you know, agree to meet up with her later for something inappropriate. And he ends up incriminating himself. So as the DUI checkpoint's breaking down, they go to the checkpoint and decide to arrest him at the checkpoint in uniform. Yeah.
Okay.
And so his best friend in the whole wide world, who was best man at his wedding, one of them was best man at the other one's wedding, is there working the DUI checkpoint with him. And when they go to take the dude into custody, the motor officer wheels back and breaks leather with his gun, and his best friend, who was best man at his wedding, dumped him right there in the middle of the street at the DUI checkpoint.
Did he kill him?
Yep.
Holy fuck. Oh my God. Wow.
Yeah. As far as I remember, it was, yeah. Anyway. So if you think that bad leadership, the bonehead idea to go arrest this guy at the DUI checkpoint in full uniform while he's armed, I've heard all the excuses. I've heard all of the reasonings why they said we should do it now. But the bottom line is, it was a terrible idea. And clearly it was a terrible idea, but you weren't going to tell this guy that.
Well, turns out his decision was pretty fucking fucked up. Wow.
How many people do we know have different stories like that where they've just like, are you fucking kidding me?
I mean, I could honestly say it happens at least once or twice a week for me.
Yeah.
Not, I mean, obviously people don't get killed once or twice a week as far as cops go. Like that's a pretty wild fucking right. story.
Yeah.
But I mean, just the look of like, how do you remember to breathe? How?
Copious notes.
Copious notes. Yeah, you know, it's something that was brought up also, you know, and again, I can only speak for the agencies that I've worked for. And I think it's really, really, really bothersome to me is when it comes to trainees and the training units. And I don't know how your training unit worked. But it seems like nowadays, and again, this all breaks down to the leadership and the people that they're making FTOs and the people that they're making in charge of the FTO program, you know, are, in my opinion, softening the whole thing up because it's, oh, poor them. You can't haze. They're stressed. You got to give them so many chances. I don't even know how many times. I think it's like, I saw someone remediated like four or five times. Mm. And I'm like, How the fuck? How are you going to put that dude on the streets by himself if you have to remediate him 4 or 5 times?
No, no, that's a liability.
Fuck out of here. And it's pretty sad when you have a person in charge of the training unit going, yeah, I'm just a favorite, but lieutenants actually make all the decisions. Go fucking figure. That's why we're producing these bullshit trainees that come off the streets.
Well, fucking and ridiculous. Even the FTOs. So when I was working, I went to training school with a guy from LAPD, and he was talking about, yeah, he had, you know, so the sergeant comes out to bless the arrest. And I went, the what now? And he said, yeah, sergeant came out to bless the arrest. And he said it like it was, you know, standard operating procedure. And I said, why did the sergeant, who were they related to? What was the deal? Like, cause for me, you know, that's an oral board question, which is, you know, you pull over the mayor or you pull over your mom and their DUI, what do? You know, that's easy. You know, you just arrest
them. Throw away the keys and take them home. Right. Yeah, don't say that. Don't say that.
For real. No, but, you know, that was like call the supervisor as part of the answer to that question and discuss it with them because there's some sensitive issues at play that are just about the public's perception of favoritism and things like that. But that's a political question. That's why you call a supervisor. If I called a sergeant to just tell me it was okay to arrest any old, you know, random, you know, domestic violence, battery, assault with a deadly weapon, any of that shit, and they need to get arrested. If I call a supervisor over and ask them, okay, is it okay for me to arrest this person? I'd be in their office getting a fucking rip in my jacket for not being able to make a decision and not meeting the minimum standards for a fucking police officer. Sure. I'd be getting my ass ripped.
Yeah. I mean, like for people that don't know LAPD, before I had lateraled over to where I'm at now, I mean, it was crazy because you make an arrest in the, and then before you can book your body for whatever crime it is, you have something called a booking approval and you have to go to the supervisor, explain to them what happened, what you found, yada, yada, yada. And then they make the ultimate decision on if it was okay or not to actually book this body and arrest them. And to be honest, early on in my career, I just thought that's how it all worked, you know, because that's all I knew. But I, you know, obviously found out that is not the way it goes. And, you know, it was funny because I remember when I finally lateraled, made an arrest, and then I'm like, hey, so, you know, where the booking, like, okay, so I made an arrest, whatever. Okay, so where's the booking approval? They're like, what's a booking approval?
Mm-hmm, right.
Well, when I have to like tell the supervisor what's going on, nah, just give them the report when you're done.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, you mean we're allowed to make our own decisions?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No. Turns out you give me a freaking $40,000, $50,000 automobile and a bunch of guns and then trust me to do my job.
Oh, right. Right. So what I was, you know, the reason why I kind of brought up the whole FTO program is because I see a lot of times you have or had really good FTOs or really, really good cops that are training guys. And ultimately, you know, they become disgruntled and they become just kind of like, fuck this place because of poor leadership, which in turn affects the trainee and the amount of exposure they get in the field and the things that they're doing. And I don't know. It's just my opinion and in my experience that all this leads back to just poor leadership and literally no leadership skills.
Well, you look at how many, you know, chiefs that are out there that when their officers get in a shooting, they come out and say, we stand by our officers. We're not going to, you know, they're like, well, let's see how the body camera footage looks and let's wait. You know, they hem and they haw and they hedge their bets instead of coming out and saying, look, I've already been to the scene. Barring any further shocking evidence, our guys did it right. And we're going to err on the side of trusting them that they did it right. Cause that's what we trained them to do. So we're not going to insult our own training and our own common sense and our own judgment by assuming that our guys did it wrong. We're going to assume they did it right based on the evidence we have.
And if this investigation goes the other way, we will make it public knowledge and that's that.
Yeah. I get it. There's a certain amount of, I mean, let's face it, you know, the generations of law enforcement officers before us, they haven't fucked up shit.
Yeah.
But, you know, so did the suspects. It wasn't, Like it was, there was a guy that was going to the parking lot of the 77th Street station in Los Angeles. And it was one or a crew of guys. They would loosen the lug nuts on the officers' personally owned vehicles so that when they got off duty and they were driving the freeway home, their freaking tire would fly off and hopefully crash. And I mean, that's pretty fucking heinous when you're going after people's like cars off, to, you know, that's after the bell shit. You don't hit people after the bell, but you know, the cops of the day had a standing order that said, if you found this dude that was, you know, loosening the lug nuts on the tires, he was not going to jail.
Hey, I'm a pretty firm believer if that's how we still operated, all this bullshit that's been going on in the last 2 years, a lot of it would not be happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and even if people were really pissed off about certain things, there's no way in hell you would see the rioting. You would. I mean, no. I guess you would. You might see a little bit of it because you had, what, the Rodney King riots back in the day, Watts riots and things like that. Those things still happened even when, you know, cops were allowed to really do what they needed to do. But it was also very contained. It didn't just spill over and then just last forever.
Right. And some of that stuff, like some of it is tactics and techniques that we just, they used to be fine, but you know, wanted dead or alive used to be fine for the cops to go out and say, well, sure, shit, I have the choice to kill you. So rather than try and haul you in alive, I'm just going to kill you because it's easier. You know?
Yeah. You want to talk about discretion.
Yeah. That was a valid tactic. Fucking
Judge Dredd shit.
Right.
But Judge then, Jury and executioner on the spot.
Hell yeah. Then you, you know, fast forward another 60 years into the middle of the 20th century and you've got, you know, German shepherds on long leads, just biting their way through a crowd of people. That was acceptable. But guess what? We now look at that and go, yeah, no, we can't do that. You know, so things evolve, right. But it's not, you shouldn't look back at what we used to think was acceptable and then judge the people doing it through the lens of what we believe now. You know,
I mean, look at the old episodes of Cops. There's some stuff I've seen on those, dude, people get their asses handed to them.
Yeah.
In those old episodes. And you didn't see the suspects complaining.
No,
never. I cannot think of one time they're act like motherfucking or anything that, oh my God, you beat my ass. Oh my God, I'm making a complaint. Oh my God. Oh my God. No, it just was kind of, hey, I fucked up. I deserved my ass whooping. I shouldn't have fought. I shouldn't have ran. Well, let's go to jail and get this done.
Yeah, there was a time when people understood if the cops had to come get you, they were bringing an ass whooping with them. And that was also the era where if you talked shit to somebody's face, you know, just if you walked up to some Joe Blow off the street and insulted his mother, he was going to rap you in the mouth.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to press charges. He wasn't going to, you know, that's what kept people polite. And they say fighting isn't the answer. Well, sometimes it is.
Yeah. Sometimes it has to be.
Right.
And that's, you know, and again, you want to talk about leadership going above and beyond even internal policing. look at our leaders making decisions on something like their carotid restraint.
Mm-hmm.
They made a decision on that based off of literally lack of knowledge and just ignorance and believing and or just wanting to get away from the public light of, oh, we're killing innocent people by choking them out.
Right.
In reality, that's not even what's happening.
No. Instead of spending the time, you know, to educate people and say, okay, here's what's actually happening. Now, you ever watch the UFC? Because that's what's happening every freaking night on the UFC.
And if it was so bad, you don't think they would ban it?
Yeah, exactly. And well, those guys are trained. Our guys are trained, you know, I mean, I taught
it's
people
really
how to
not
do
that
it.
Hard to apply it.
Nope. It's not. And it, you know, there are all kinds of other things that come into play. When you start talking about like the fact that you're willing to say, well, you know, forget the facts, forget logic and reason, and forget educating people and telling them, no, you're being stupid. This technique is fine. Let's just capitulate and give in, despite the fact that it's a complete false fucking bullshit narrative. It's the same thing with hands up, don't shoot, right? How many times was hands up and don't shoot debunked as not being what happened, but people still wear it on t-shirts and they still say it because a lie repeated enough times becomes the truth. And if you, you know, if you say that the carotid restraint is racist and it's choking people, if you call it the chokehold, then it becomes true at some point. Instead of explaining to people, no, it's a neck restraint and this is how it works. And yes, people survive and it happens all the time. We are not choking anybody.
I'll tell you a story. It was actually the first time that I had a chance to, not the first time I could have applied it, but it was the first time that I could have applied it and was not allowed to use it. And this actually wasn't too long ago, but I'll talk about it because I'm pretty sure that case was settled anyways. And the internal investigation is done. But long story short, my partner and I caught some dude trying to get into a house. He was one of the streets that's usually pretty darker in our city. We just caught it out of the corner of our eye, and he's sitting there, and it looks like he's trying to pry it open, the front door. So we stop, call him over off the porch. You could tell right away he's high as all hell on. I think afterwards we found out he was in a meth-induced psychosis, but at the time we thought it was PCP. Just because of the way he was looking at us.
They look very similar.
He wasn't responding to anything we're saying. You know, I forgot what he had in his hands. He had something and then a bag, and in the bag was a hammer because the bag was clear so we could see it. And, you know, we're telling him to drop it. Long story short, he doesn't. He takes off running. He makes it over a wall. My partner goes over the wall. And as I'm about to come over the wall, he's charging us with what I thought at the time was a metal stool. And it ended up being wood because when he swung it, he hit my partner with it and it just shattered all over her. So she goes down.
Like a goddamn Western.
Yeah, legitimately. That's exactly what it looked like. So he hits her. It explodes. She flies. And I guess lucky him, because she actually bounced. It was a very narrow side of the house. So she actually bounced off a chain link fence and came back into my line of sight because I was getting ready to shoot him. So she jumps right back into my line of sight. I holster my gun. I jump over the wall as he's backing up because it just got obliterated in his hands and he's like, fuck, I don't know what to do now.
Right, right.
So he backs up and then he starts doing the whole kill me shit. Anyways, we get three more officers there. We hit him with a 40 one time, center mass. He goes to his knees. So we know he felt it. We walk up on him, go hands on with him, and right there, fight is on. Trying to get up, he's swinging, he's biting, elbowing, kicking. He's not trying to get away. He's actively fighting.
Right.
There's a very big difference. And at some point in this fight, he actually got his hands on one of the officer's guns and was trying to rip it out of the holster. And between me and that other officer, we were breaking his fingers off the gun. His hands were so tight on the gun. We literally were breaking his fingers one by one off the gun. But it's like something out of the movies. You know how like when you see zombie movies or something like that,
right.
Like they break something, but then it still moves, like, or like it'll pop back right. into place. Right. That's literally what it did. Like literally, right. It was a trip. But anyways, the fight lasted actually a long time. And there was two times in my positioning with this guy that I could have put him in this restraint. And of course I didn't, you know, it is what it is.
Cause
I can't. Ultimately what ended up happening was I was going to actually shoot the guy, but it just so happens that I didn't because of some things I won't talk about pertaining to another officer. And he was actually shot in the head point blank range by the 40. Hmm. So what ended up happening was the guy was actually clawing his way because he saw it on the ground during the fight and he started clawing his way towards it to grab it. He grabbed it by the sling and was pulling it towards him. And again, guys, this guy doing it with four officers on top of him and literally right. beating the shit out of him because it's a right. fight and he's feeling nothing. So what ended up happening was as he grabbed the
less lethal, the 40.
Yeah. The less lethal, the sling, one of the officers picked it up, literally turned it around, pointing right out of the side of his head and just cranked around off. I mean, I thought actually someone shot him in the head because I was really close to his head and I actually felt the dirt from the percussion and the round hit me in the face. The dirt did and it stung real bad. And I saw his ear kind of flap open and his head bounced like a fucking basketball. And I was like, oh, that's the end. Well, that wasn't the end. It was enough time to get him in handcuffs, but that motherfucker woke up and the fight was on again. You know, people just don't realize, you know, how crazy these people can get with these drugs. And anyways, what I'm saying is, yeah, right. So what I'm saying is that, you know, again, these leaders way up there decided that a karate restraint wasn't a good tactic, but we ended up having to shoot someone point blank range with a 40 because we couldn't just put him to sleep for fucking 10 seconds.
Was it you that was telling me about being in a training or something where you were talking to the lieutenant? Maybe this was you, but I was talking to a cop who said, I said in the middle of training, you know, they were like, okay, so you can't use it. And he goes, okay, so let me get this straight. So if my partner is on the ground and suspect's on top of my partner, and they're going for their gun and my partner's about to die and I can't shoot the suspect because of the position that my partner's in, I might kill my partner. You're telling me that you'd rather have me pick up a brick and bludgeon this guy to death or pull out my pocket knife and slash his throat than crawl on his back and apply the carotid restraint?
Yeah, that wasn't me, but whoever that was, it's a great question.
I mean, let's face it, right? That's what you're talking about.
Yeah. And you're telling me that I guarantee that somewhere in the United States, that had to have happened already.
I mean, let's face it. If they're telling you that you can't use the carotid restraint, then why consider it when you can just, it's the old LAPD rule now. If you can choke them, you can smoke them. I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
So.
But now you can't even do that. You straight up just can't do it.
No, that's what I mean. Like,
yeah,
it's more legal for you to shoot them and try to make the shooting justifiable, because if you try to justify carotid, you automatically fail.
Right. Done. And I've actually thought about that. I'm like, holy shit, if this happens and I can't do this, I literally just going to Happy Gilmore them with my friggin' straight stick.
Yeah.
And just see how far I could smack their head off the body.
Just get like, up and do like really? the Bruce Lee, you know, snap their neck. Stop.
Hey, you didn't choke him. You didn't choke him.
You didn't choke him. Deadly force is deadly force, baby.
Yeah, yeah. So anyways.
Yeah, but that's where we're headed. I mean, not even where we're headed.
It's where
we started this podcast. That's where we were headed.
Yes.
That's where we're at.
Yes. And I don't see it. And, you know, people talk about how, like, you know, the pendulum is going to get so far left, it's going to swing right. I hate to break it to people.
It's going
to
break off.
In my opinion, I was just about to say that. In my opinion, at least I could speak for California, it broke off when it hit the left side.
Yeah.
And it's gone. It's gone. It's never coming back.
Nope.
And
we're going to build a new one.
And if anyone thinks it's coming back to the right, I want to know why. I want their explanation of why and how, because I can't see it.
Yeah. Unless that thing made it into orbit and is actually going to circle the Earth, that's the only way it's going to make its way right again.
And the odds aren't good.
Right. There's a lot of problems out there. And I've turned off the news. I've turned off politics. I've turned off a lot of that shit just because I do what I have to do for this show and for you guys, but I don't want to hear it anymore. It's the fact that, you know, you had cops all summer getting murdered and ambushed and all that shit, and none of the politicians gave a fuck, but what happens at the Capitol building goes down and all of a sudden they're all, you know, how dare you attack this poor police officer and da, 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 da.
Oh, right.
I'm sorry. If it was Black Lives Matter or Antifa that had done that to him, would you have given a shit? Because it didn't seem like anybody gave a shit all summer long. So I'm done with that whole thing. I mean, I don't understand how anybody can look. I feel bad for anybody still doing the job right now. How can you possibly think anybody's got your back?
You don't. I mean, look, I'm in still, and it's very, very, very hard to really believe at a certain level, starting at a certain level, they have your back. I don't believe that's the case at all, actually, you know, and it's sad that it has to be that way, but ultimately, you know, you got to look out for yourself and the partners that you know you could trust. But other than that,
And people wonder why the crime rate nationwide is skyrocketing.
But and again, here you go. You want to talk about leaders again? You want? I had a ride along the other night, and the ride along just so happened to be the city manager. And it's funny because, you know, I took him out and he got to see a lot of cool stuff, like stuff he's never seen before, which is really cool. Anything from someone getting tased to a traffic stop, getting $10,000 worth of fentanyl and guns and all sorts of shit. So he got to see a lot of cool stuff. What I drove home to him, and something that he just did not see, obviously, until he's in a cop car, is a quality of life issue for the people that do live in these cities. LA's gone. LA, you know, yeah. LA's done. But, you know, for these smaller cities within LA County, there are agencies that I do believe would like to do the right thing and would like to clean up their places. And, you know, and making this come back to leadership, I tell the city manager, you know, you've seen a lot of stuff tonight. And would you live in this city? Because you could tell when you come in the city, it looks clean, but you had no idea what goes on behind the scenes until tonight. Would you live here? What do you think that answer was? Fucking hell no.
Yeah. He's like, I wouldn't live here before I saw that shit.
Right. Okay, exactly. So, but my point is, you know, and what I told him was, I was like, listen, we have the capability to fix, especially with this, with smaller cities, we have the capabilities to fix these cities.
Right.
And people for, to know, hey, if you come in this city, you are going to feel the full wrath of this agency, period. You are not going to operate here.
Right.
Well, hey, how come your chief and how come your lieutenants, how come they're not pushing that? They're okay with people sitting on their ass fucking all day for 12 hours, not doing anything.
Right.
Because the guys that are out here doing all this shit and really taking people to jail and trying to do something, we're the ones that are getting fucking in trouble for the smallest little bullshit ever.
Right. Because you guys are creating liability.
See, and that, and in
it's
my opinion,
blazing
we're
status.
Not.
We've got to protect our phony baloney jobs, gentlemen.
But you know what? That's the thing though. We're not. Well, in my opinion, we're not creating liability. Yeah, liability maybe to a sense of the more we do this, the likelihood of maybe getting into a shooting is more. Okay, whatever. We'll get through
no,
that.
No, I mean, they're scared. But, they're just no, scared.
They're scared, period. They're scared of their own shadow. But what I'm saying is like, how are you not creating liability with untrained officers, not going out there being proactive, yada, yada, the list goes on, and you are creating just a cesspool of liability by really not going out and doing your fucking job, in my opinion.
Well, you know, a lot of times, like, it's kind of like, think of it in terms of inactivity, right? It's easier for them to digest because they don't have to watch it happen. They don't have to watch you guys do your job. They can pretend everything's fine and let it rot from the inside out because that's the easy way.
And I proposed, and I'm not the only one that proposed, that lieutenants and above shall come on ride-alongs once a month or once every few months. Shall.
Yeah.
Well, no, that was shot down. And then a supervisor actually came up with a fucking phenomenal idea, and I'm sure he's not the first. And that was, so you know how, like, when you get your evals, right, for the end of your rotations and things like that. Well, why isn't there any evals looking up, meaning the patrol officers, they evaluate the sergeants. The sergeants, they evaluate the lieutenants. The lieutenants evaluate the chief and up. They submitted something for that.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, shot down right away. Absolutely not. We're not doing that.
No, of course not.
Fucking pathetic.
Well, I'm so glad we're back to our tradition of ending our episodes on a high note.
I was just about to say, I'm going to be raging for the next fucking 2 hours now.
And, now you won't be able to go to sleep. Let's see. I think I have something to read real quick. Well, first of all, we dedicate our episodes, and I have one that somebody sent me to read. So this is our episode tonight is going to be dedicated to Harry Beale. And Harry Beale is known as America's first Navy SEAL. He died at 90 years old. He was a resident, the first Navy SEAL to be appointed by President JFK in 1962. And there's a picture of this old dude. He's in a wheelchair in an OD green Southeast Asia, you know, t-shirt and a freaking, you know, Bryden patch on his hat and the tattoos up his forearms to prove it. So Harry Beal, America's first Navy SEAL, rest easy, brother. We've got it from here. So I wanted to read that one. There's another one I had to read that says, and I think this is going to have to be its own episode. Dominic asked, I want to ask a couple questions if that's all right. I feel I have a higher calling maybe. And I'm thinking about going and trying to join the police force, but I just don't know what they are looking for or what I need to study to pass the tests and stuff. I know you guys are retired and still active police officers. If you have any time, could you give me some pointers or tips? So I think what we should do is sit down with Aaron and maybe one of our firefighter guys as well, and really go over how to prepare for the testing process, what to expect. And then as far as oral boards, kind of give some examples of the kinds of questions that people are going to ask and the kinds of dumb shit you can do in an oral board to trip yourself up, and, you know, some basic like rules that if you follow those rules, you can probably do pretty well on an oral board. You know, one of which is if your partner wants to steal a pack of gum, don't arrest him in the 7-Eleven parking lot. Uniform.
True.
Oh God. So anyway, I have this one. Says, good morning, USMC active duty. My section 72 just got canceled because of some dumb shit. Morale was lower than usual. Intentions were high. My sergeant gathered us together and told us this short story that gets passed around when times are tough. Several years ago, a Marine and his ride or die were walking to the Armory to grab their rifles and smoke some fucks in the desert. They just happened to be looking at the sky, praying a 7-ton would fall from it and land on them, delivering them from the hell that was their lives. All of a sudden, they spot one of those yoked MRE eating crows. That big bastard lands on a transformer and instantly turns to pink mist. An explosion as powerful as a 40 mic blasts their ear holes and eye holes simultaneously. So their dicks get hard and they sprint over to check that shit out like the crayon eaters they are. When they arrive, they find a charred lump of meat, legs still attached, smoking breast meat, and feathers. 95% of the bird was gone in a split second. A fuck yeah was shared. They high-fived, crushed up some crayons, and did lines off each other's erect cocks before hitting the Armory. So that's just a little story that somebody wanted.
Solid.
And I'm trying to find the email we have for John, because somebody specifically wrote and asked me to give you a special message, John. So I'm looking for this one. Let's see here. So also for those of you that were wondering, we are really working on getting all our backlog of stuff out. Obviously, I wasn't going to ship stuff when I was sick because I didn't want to send the Rona cross country and infect all of our fans. and so Tony says the email is titled D motherfucking C. he says, hey guys, let's see, legit special forces pogue here. I loaded missiles on birds, but you know, everyone was special forces in the military, right? Ha ha, not me. Swung with the wing and proud of it. Plus, they maybe said it was that or be a cook. So that was great. I just want to get your take on Metro DC police. They stood down on orders and let the city burn with Antifa and BLM riots earlier in the year and did nothing. Now, after the bullshit that went down today, the pit bull seems to have been let off the leash. Cops are fucking, he's referring to the Capitol protests.
Right.
let off the leash. Cops are fucking people up. Regular folks who just happened to be at a Trump rally, women, men, old and young, and offering no resistance. Cops are clubbing them and beating them as they are leaving. I saw one toss a lady over a ledge. What in the flying fuck of law enforcement is happening? It's almost as if they want their biggest support group to turn on them. I got to admit, it's really making me question law enforcement. We've had their back this entire time, and now this starts happening. I would expect shit like this in Russia or China. I think it would be an important topic on the show, but just want to get your take because we got to calm shit down before it gets kinetic. You guys rock. From your Semper Fi from a Pogue, Tony.
And Tony, stop watching the news.
Yeah, right? There's way more to that.
Yeah, and you know, yeah, there's a whole lot. That's a whole, that could be, that whole scenario could be a whole topic of discussion, I think, for an episode.
Yeah, so I think that's what we're going to do, Tony, is we're going to actually sit down and discuss, because some of the cops were letting the protesters into the Capitol building and just being like, right. Yeah, go ahead. So we'll see. So I told him that we were going to, you know, talk about it on the show, and he
said, it's a good subject to bring up. I agree.
But he said, I never thought I'd get an actual reply. And this is the special message, John. And I really appreciate it. I'm quoting this whole email. I was on that LEO path after the Marine Corps, and I'm happy now that I pulled the plug. That psych evaluation might have done me in before the polygraph. You guys do amazing stuff and do not seek nor receive the back pats, but at least you, with your podcast, you're shedding light. Semper Fi, you dirty fuckers. Keep it up. And tell John that even though he's an Army puke who did more cool stuff before morning coffee, that this Marine puked in all of his deployments, he's still a fucking Army puke.
I respect that. I can respect that.
So that was my special message for you,
Tony. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, so ultimately,
Tony, if you want to talk shit, find me on Instagram.
And we're still funny. Getting people at, we're still adding people to the Warzone regiment. John's on there more than I am, because he's better at it than I am.
But no, it's funny though, because I guess when I have time and, you know, kids asleep and whatever else, and we're relaxing, and it's funny because I'll get a message, like I'll just get some random ass message. Hey, can you add me to the regiment? I'm like, holy fuck. Like people, and it happens a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I just thought it was interesting. Yeah, it's regiment. So yeah, keep on doing it. We'll keep adding.
Maybe I'm going to possibly start up if anybody's playing Red Dead Redemption online, I might start a War Stories posse. You all can go raise hell in the Old West together with me. But anyway, so I think we're going to have to, we've got some good stuff coming up. Adam, who was my buddy that took a couple of rounds from a 357 Magnum at point blank. He's going to come on and talk about another shooting he's been in. We've got some stuff.
We got a pilot coming on also.
We've got a pilot coming on. And then John and I have talked to a couple of nurses that have their own podcast. And we're trying to nail that down. But you know, that might be a Zoom thing, because we might not be able to get our schedules to work.
So we know how women are. So if they could just reply, that'd be great.
What's that? Did you ever hear the old one about why there was no woman on the Apollo missions?
Why?
Because it would have been like, you know, Houston, we have a problem. What is it? It's nothing.
But there's a problem. But seriously, it's nothing. It's not that big of a deal.
Please tell us. It's fine. No, seriously, you should probably tell us what's wrong. If you don't know what it is already, I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, that's true. That's a good one.
Right? Houston, we have a problem. It's nothing. Anyway.
All right. You know what? With that being said, real quick, if you guys have any type of anyone or any person or family member that's in, you know, doctor, nurse, works in the ER, ICUs, NICUs, things like that, send them our way. We're more than willing to have them on.
Yeah, exactly. We've got some other people that have sent us some information. So now that we're getting back into the swing of things, I think we should do a short story. We haven't done short stories in a while, and we haven't done firefighters takeover, and we haven't done medics takeover in a while. So I think we're going to have to line those up next.
Sure. Yeah. That's not a bad idea.
All right. Well, until our next episode, come home with your shield or on it.